Kind of the topic tonight, or the thought with the message, is that of memories, precious memories. What have we done to build them, and how do we get them? Matthew 25 kind of touches on that as Jesus is teaching and challenging the disciples and us as we read it again, beginning in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We'll stop our reading there. The story of the servants and the talents give us a couple of things concerning the Lord's return and the importance of us being busy. And by way of the introduction I gave, the application is what good memories the 2 had and what bad memories the 1. Why? Because they did or did not take advantage of that which the Lord gave them. So we'll look at these things. First of all, the kingdom of heaven, the man traveling, that's a picture of our Lord, giving to each one severally according to their ability. God's the one who decides who gets what. In this story, this parable, his 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. Of course, you know, I'm sure already, that a talent in this context is not what we think of as skills or abilities of human origin or of man-made ability, but rather it was a word used then to represent a weight of money, whether of silver or of gold. Usually, if it was a talent of gold, of course, it'd be worth much more than a talent of silver. But it was a weight. Some have said we ought to change that and tell it how much it was worth. Now, you tell me, how much was gold worth 10 years ago? How much is gold worth now? No, just leave it alone. Just understand, it's talking about, he gave them a certain amount of money. It's weighed out by talents rather than pounds. That was the measurement that they used then. And 1 got 5, 1 got 2, and 1 got 1. See, that's the point. It's not how much it was worth in our time today is not the issue. The issue is the master said, you, I'm giving you 5. You, I'm giving you 2. And you, I'm giving you 1. Now, our world today has got a lot of people saying, that's not fair. Why, they all ought to have the same amount. It's not fair. He got 5 times as much as the other one. And this guy's got 2. Why, that's unequal. And you hear a lot about that in the political realm today. Inequality. But I want you to notice something. It says he gave it to each one according to every man to his several ability. God knows who can handle what. I wish we could get this through our hard heads that God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And it's not up to us to criticize him. And that's what the last one did. We'll get to that in a moment. God is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving. He cares for us, I believe, more than we care for ourselves. And he gives us what he deems best. Can we understand that God is not being mean to anybody by what he chooses to give us? Because he knows our several abilities. He knows who can handle five, who can handle two, and who can, if they will, handle one. But then, not only the opportunity that the Lord gave according to his knowledge of the various servants, but then we see the choice made by the servants. The one with five went out and did what he could. He took them, traded, and made more, and God blessed him. He got back five more. The one with two, again, took what he had, went out by faith and did what he could, and God blessed, and he got two more. The last one didn't. See, the problem with these guys, the last one is, he didn't believe his Lord. He didn't trust him. In fact, he maligned him. You remember the scripture, it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Think about that, how that applies to our service to the Lord, because that's what I believe this is a picture of. The use of these talents is a picture of our service for the Lord. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that God gave gifts to men by the Holy Spirit. Each one of us has spiritual gifts, some more than others, some differing than others. The Bible lists several of them, and we're not going to go into all of that tonight, but understand God has given you and I, each one of us, the ability to serve him in some fashion. The question is, will we by faith say, yes, Lord, I'll do my best, and let God bless, and trust him for the results? Or are we like the last guy, afraid? And what was his fear based upon? He had a skewed view of his master. He had a false perception of his Lord. He said, I was afraid. Why? Because I knew thee. Thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. He's saying he's a thief. How many of us have heard people accuse God of the very same thing? There are people in high places saying, if there's a God, because most of them don't want to admit that even, it's not right the way he does things. Why should the United States be so blessed and these other countries be so poor and so stricken with poverty, with distresses and all these problems? That's in God's hand.
Amen.
And the other question is, what did they do with what they had? You know, it's amazing when you see the land of Israel. After the Lord chased them out in the Old Testament because of their sin and scattered them to the four winds, Israel was like the rest of that whole area. It was pretty desolate. It was desert. Nobody wanted to be there. And when God started bringing them back after 1948 and all of that events of World War, think of the things they endured to get back, the few that are there. We've studied some of those promises and some of those fulfillments in the past. But all of World War II and all the terrible persecutions much longer ago than that, fulfillment of God's promise to them, if you don't love me and serve me, I'm going to send trouble to you. But he's still going to keep his promise to them. So anyway, they went back into the land, and since 48, that desert's turned to a garden. They've done so much with it, and now the people around them want it back. But you know, if they got it back, which I don't believe they will, but whether or not I'm right or not, it's not the point. You think they'd keep it? God has blessed the faithfulness of those people who've gone back by faith into the land of their forefathers and built a nation out of nothing. You know, you think of God's blessing on the United States coming from England and Europe back in the 1600s and later and coming to a wilderness and carving out a nation full of natural resources and full of... What did Israel find when they got there? A lot of sand and rocks and a lot of opportunity. But you see, God made that desert to bloom, didn't he? And we've seen slides of pictures of the fruit from Israel now that they're growing in the desert. And they've done a lot of amazing things of which the world is greedy now. And all this stuff going on over there with Syria and Russia. And it looks like everything's just getting set up for the end time, doesn't it? I'm waiting to hear the Lord's trumpet. But until then, we need to be busy as Christians here serving Him. And God will bless us if we take it by faith. This man didn't trust the Lord. He blamed God. He misrepresented God. And he said, because I don't trust you, and because I think you're mean and hard and reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you sowed out, I was afraid. Now, have you ever felt that way as a Christian? Afraid to try? If you have, could it be you have a wrong perception of God? Because God loves us. And He's enabled us. And He does not ask us to go out and do things to make us miserable. He asks us to go out and do things that we might grow and He might bless us and use us. He'll bring us through the water. Think of Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis. All the trials and tribulations that young man went through, being hated by his brothers, misunderstood by his father and mother, just trying to follow God. Sold as a slave, lied about by a woman, thrown into prison, forgotten by men who promised to remember him. But God was preparing the way so He could save Egypt for a generation and Israel, which is even more important, His own people. And the joy that Joseph participated with when he got to see his father again. When he got to bring them before Pharaoh, these are my family, they're shepherds. We provided for them the land of Goshen, all the fulfillment, all those promises God had given him back in those visions that nobody else understood. Don't you think he was satisfied? Kind of like the words that the Lord gave to these two faithful ones. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we want to hear, isn't it? We want to hear God say, "Well done. You've been faithful over a few things." And then there's future blessing here, hinted at here in this passage. I believe if we're faithful in this life, there's a place for us in the kingdom. When the Lord comes down for the millennial reign, the 1,000 years on earth, where Christ sits in the throne of David and rules from Jerusalem. And the whole earth will be blessed, and we'll be a part of that. We'll be some kind of administrations. There'll be others that did not die physically and went into the kingdom age as mortals, and they'll have families, and it'll be a wonderful time. We could look at other passages where it talks about the lion laying down with the lamb and the child playing on the hole of the asp and all that. You know, no more hurt in that time. All the problems of this world will be... By the way, there won't be any worry about global warming. There won't be any worry about all the environment problems. God's going to take care of that. It'll be like the Garden of Eden again, but the old Satan will be loosed again. There'll be a time of testing. But think about the blessing. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's a good thing to look forward to, isn't it? Not only the well done, but the joy of the Lord and join fellowship with Him. But what about the other one who didn't try? Who didn't understand God, didn't receive Him as He was. He says, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." He said, "You're wicked. You're not just lazy." That's what slothful means, although I think slothful is a better word because it reminds you of that monstrosity animal that you see pictures of, the giant sloth, you know, just barely moves along, eating off of the tree there, hanging upside down and all that. What an image. But he's saying, "You knew I reap where I sowed not and gather where I've not strawed." He used his own words against him. He said, "Well, if that's the way you look at me, then why don't you just put the money in the bank? At least I should have had an interest on it." That's what usury is. And because he didn't try, because he denied the goodness of God and made him out to be the evil one, to take what he's got, give it to him that's got 10, and cast him out. There's no joy of the Lord for this one. There's no blessing there. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Be sorrow. Now, people have argued whether this one was a picture of an unsaved one. It could be. I'm not going to get into that because I think the main point of the parable is, what do you do with what God has given you? If you take by faith what He chooses to give you, don't worry about somebody else. Worry about yourself. I always think about Peter in the Gospel of John toward the end of the book, where he says, "Lovest thou me more than these? And yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," and all that. And then he says, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." And he said, "Well, what should this man do?" Pointing to John. And the Lord said, "What's that to you? If I decide he can stay till I return, that's none of your business." I paraphrase. You go feed my lamb. You take care of what you're supposed to do. And that's a message for all of us, isn't it? It's so easy for us when we're in this old sinful flesh to say, "Well, Lord, what about her? Or what about him?" Don't worry about them. They answer to God. Romans 14, I think it's or 14 or 12, one of those two passages. "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falls." You don't judge him. You're not in charge. God is. Let God take care of him and her, and you take care of you. We're responsible for ourselves. And finally, the opportunity to receive the blessing, the opportunity to use the gifts, the opportunity to invest and make precious memories will come to an end. We've got a certain time to serve the Lord. By application to us gathered here tonight, it's our lifetime till Jesus calls us out. It may be by death, it may be by rapture, but when this life is over, our opportunity to sow and to invest is gone. And then the judgment seat of Christ will come at the appointed time, and we'll all be judged according to their works, whether it be good or bad. That which we've done for Christ, will it be there? You remember the little poem I've probably quoted 100 times. "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. All that other stuff will burn up, be gone." Oh, I hope none of us will be like that unprofitable one saying, "Well, you know, I thought I'd mess up, Lord." Maybe we wouldn't be so foolish as to say the first part, "I thought thou wert a hard man, taking where you didn't invest and all that." But I know Christians, and maybe all of us could admit from time to time we felt, "Lord, I don't want to do it wrong. I'm not qualified. I can't do it." But you can do by faith. Little as much when God is in it. We need to trust the Lord and use our opportunities. Because there's a judgment day a-coming. And the Lord will give reward to those who are faithful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank thee for the salvation thou hast bestowed upon us, for the blessings of life, for the enjoyment we've had, the family and friends. And Lord, I thank thee for the talents thou hast put in our lives spiritually, the spiritual gifts, the opportunities, the fact that we live here in this nation, we have comfort, we have a certain amount of affluence, we have opportunity that most of the world can only dream of. Lord, I do pray that we'll be faithful as these two were, and we could hear those words at the judgment, "Well done, good and faithful servant," that we might be found faithful in our service for thee. Guide and direct us as we leave tonight, that we might be safe and return the next appointed hour. Bless our revival meeting, prepare Brother Holt's call, and prepare us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.